At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to Mean Age Daydream with me, Brian McWilliams, where we're going to be making some jokes, laughing out at broken world, but also laying out the philosophy for the future, how we can fix this mess we're in and have a great time doing it all with a Mean Age Daydream. Welcome back to Mean Age Daydream, everybody. I am Brian McWilliams, as always, for the society to the aversion of melting minds. Welcome to the show. It's going to be a shorter show. I've had a hell of a day. I've had a sick kid home and just things keep popping up. I have to deal with, it's kind of throwing me off my schedule here. So apologies, but we'll get through it. We'll run through some fun stuff, some good times, and some very interesting news stories. I don't know about the rest of you, but I have been very annoyed by the eclipse, all the eclipse coverage. I don't care, right? The sun's up there. The moon's up there. There are two things. Sometimes things pass in front of each other. Watch this. Ready? Here's my hand in front of the camera. It was almost a full-on hand on Brian face eclipse. Kind of reminds me of that old game where you tell somebody to put their hand over their face, and then if they did, it meant they were gay or had AIDS. That was the style of the time when I was growing up. And then you'd smash their face into their nose and, you know, give them a nice nosebleed. Always great times when you were a small child. But point being, I don't care about the eclipse. I'm amazed by it. Schools were closing. I looked this up. 8 different states had schools closing because of the eclipse. Why? Because they said that they didn't want to have the responsibility for the children in the classroom not looking up and burning their little eyeballs. Now, I recall eclipses happening when I was in school, and what you did was you had a fun activity with your science teacher where you'd make a little pinhole that you could see the eclipse through. Does anybody out there remember that? Good times had by all. You learn something. You learn not to look directly into the sun, and you also learn how reflective surfaces were, etc. It was a nice experiment. But of course, especially after COVID, we know that teachers no longer care about students. They don't care about teaching. They simply are in it for protecting themselves, accelerating the level of students that get the hell out of there with a pass or fail grade, and then making sure that those kids are completely improperly prepared to achieve or learn or share or contribute to the world on the next level while being emotionally protected shells. So this pretty much goes right along with that, doesn't it? Of course, we're not going to have kids in school during the eclipse, because that would mean we had to teach them. That would mean that these kids would have to know risk reward, have to listen, have to be chastised if they did look up at the sun. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants these kids actually to learn anything about the real world. Better to have them stay home and make parents take a day off of work so that their kids don't get blinded at school. Just pathetic. But here's something that I think is pretty good that came out of it. A senator that was, Representative Jackson Lee out of the 18th Congressional District. Congresswoman. She thinks the moon is made out of gas. Now, I'm going to play this for you. This is not AI. This is not edited. This is, I guess, this woman talking because the solar eclipse is out there and some local school had her come out. And this is quite literally one of the most perplexingly stupid things I've ever had the pleasure of hearing. And this isn't to say that those of you who might think that the moon landing is faked don't have some points. But I think we can all agree the moon is not made of gas. So here is Senator Jackson Lee speaking on what the moon really is made of. And of course, the video refuses to play. Well, you got to love that. You cue it up, you test it, worked fine at the gym. Now, not happening. Well, if I need to, I'll sum it up for you, but let me try to get the video to work first. Maybe it's so unbelievably popular. Let's try this one more time. Maybe it's so unbelievably popular that Twitter is crashing because of it, or X. Here we go.
So that you have the energy of the moon at night, and sometimes you've heard the word full moon. sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
That's the question.
Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun.
I would say it is.
The moon is more manageable. And you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Okay. So this just came out, and I presume it is in the context of the eclipse. Now, I'm making that presumption. But goddamn, this woman went to Yale. She now is talking to students about how the moon is more approachable than the sun because the sun, that's a mighty heat. Yep, we know. We know the sun's hot. We can feel it. Yeah, you know, we can feel it all the way where we are here on Earth, which the Earth also has gases. She probably doesn't know that. The moon has far less gases, in fact. That's why we can't go around with our helmets off. That's why you can float around so well on the moon, because there's not so much dense pressure coming in from the outside. It also doesn't have the gravity, as it's a smaller solar mass. But my God, lady, my God, the moon is mostly made of gases. I don't know what to tell you. I guarantee she gets reelected. 100% of the electorate will now back her up, and they will cite the fact that this woman knows more than our teachers, than our scientists about the moon, having cited its gaseous nature. I mean, wow, that's Kamala Harris level stupid. So moving on from the eclipse thing, I did want to get into what I thought was pretty interesting. This is another tidbit. This was in the Washington Examiner. And I remember seeing this story just a day or two ago, but the FDA is going to delay a ban on menthol cigarettes. Now, this has been something that, of course, the left wing has been pushing for a long time under the guise of, we know what's better for you and you will do our bidding. This is the same reason that, you know, there was the war on Juul, the war on flavored anything, really, because their argument is that children will smoke it. Now, politically, we know that children aren't voting, although who knows these days? They don't check IDs, but we know that children aren't voting, but we know who does vote, and that is Black people. And Black men love menthol cigarettes. This is just a fact. Barack Obama, menthol cigarette smoker. So after 2 years of saying this is coming, the FDA now makes the sudden decision to delay it. Now, this comes at the same time where you're seeing Donald Trump last election cycle took an unprecedented number of Black men, especially some 20% of the Black male vote, went to his side. That had never happened before. It was an all-time high watermark for the Republican Party. And what you're seeing now is more people out there than before saying, well, why are we being allegiant to the Democrats? You know, more people poking holes in why are we consistently voting for a segment of the population that doesn't seem to actually help us in any way, that gives us these failed policies in the same way, and that takes us for granted, right? Completely takes us for granted. So what do you see happen? Interestingly enough, you see Joe Biden, and the presumption here is that this decision to delay the menthol ban is so that Black people and Black men especially don't get angrier at Joe Biden during a time when The Rock just came out and said he is not endorsing anybody for president after he endorsed Joe Biden last cycle. So the question now, and I would posit that this is a bygone conclusion, the question now is, does this delay of a menthol ban, which they told us was for the good of humanity, the good of the nation, the good of the children, right? Does this menthol ban being delayed mean that the FDA is clearly ideologically and politically captured by Joe Biden and the DNC? Because you would want, if this is supposed to be a standalone agency that is securing our food, our pharmaceuticals, our whatever, you know, all the crap that they throw under this banner of nonsense that the FDA consistently has failed upon, by the way, while making everything vastly more expensive and slowing down drugs and development of those drugs. Well, shouldn't they be standing alone? Shouldn't it be like the WHO or the CDC, right? Those organizations should not be ideologically captured, nor should they be playing political favors by delaying a ban on menthol cigarettes if these are supposedly so terrible. Because if they are, well, then we have to say that there's a trade-off there, right? Okay. The number of children, like, I'm not saying that in under any circumstances the FDA should be caving in this matter for pure politics, but let's just say there is this trade-off. What the FDA is now signaling to us is that Joe Biden achieving a presidency is worth X number of children getting asthma, dying of lung cancer, especially, and let's say black men dying of cancer having smoked these menthol cigarettes, right? Isn't that the trade-off that you're inevitably making here if you're the FDA delaying this ban? Either that, or it was bullshit to begin with, and that there's no real danger, and that all this has been trumped up in order to create something that they could go after because liberals en masse don't like cigarettes. The FDA, I'm sure, doesn't like cigarettes. And now this gives them another reason to go after it. Because won't you think of the children, right? The old platitude, the old trope, won't somebody think of the children? But as we've seen with Joe Biden, the children don't matter. Won't somebody think of the children only works if you're on one side of the fence. Now, interestingly, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but Joe Biden also kind of reversed course and has now been attacking Netanyahu directly, saying that their approach to Israel, that Israel's approach to the dealing with Hamas and their all-out war and continued bombing indiscriminately of Gaza. We talked about last episode, these aid workers that have been killed. Certainly seems that, won't you think about the children, hasn't worked in that situation. Maybe it finally has. Maybe it's finally coming around. I mean, I know I've seen enough videos of dead Palestinian children to last me 15 lifetimes. So maybe that's a portion of it. Maybe it's that the DNC base is so anti what Israel's doing that it's actually costing Joe Biden votes. Big problem. I mean, you look at what's happening here with bleeding away of minority populations, and not just black minority populations, Hispanic populations as well, who are the majority in my state, but the minority in the country as a whole. They also had left the DNC to vote for Donald Trump in unprecedented numbers. You got yourself a problem on your hands, especially if you're bleeding votes from your base and you've got Muslims that will not vote for you, that would rather, as we saw in a primary where Joe Biden had an option to vote for nobody, they did protest votes, over 100,000 protest votes in order to object to what Joe Biden was doing in regards to Israel. Fascinating stuff. But to get back to the FDA, it's sickening to see. And I think that it's pretty blatantly obvious to me anyway. I agree with the premise that the FDA is holding off this ban in order to help Joe Biden's administration. But it's one more example of ideological capture. We saw what the FDA and we saw the WHO, we saw what the CDC did during COVID. We saw how they kowtowed, how they lied to us about the efficacy of ivermectin, which they now had to go and replace. So, because guess what? It actually did work. All of the FDA saying, you're not supposed to use this. We're not going to allow you to use it. We're going to censor you from a government perspective from talking about it. We're not going to list it on your website. In fact, we're going to demand you take it down. And we're going to go after doctors if they dare to go against our bullshit orthodoxy as handed down by the WHO and the CDC. You saw ideological capture of what were supposed to be neutral scientific or medical entities. The FDA, by doing this, is showing us once more that there's nothing changed here, that these organizations need to be abolished. They need to be torn to the ground, ripped down to the fucking studs, and not replaced with anything. Because whatever they replace, this is going to have the same shit happen again. And with the same people, because those people are ideologically captured. I got more angry about that than I thought I would. Okay. Let's move on. As I said, I got to really make this a short show today. I did want to talk about a funny little story I saw here, which is this is from the rabbit hole. And I'm trying to see where this is from. Climate change hitting vulnerable Indonesian trans sex workers. Let's type this. This is like what Vice would have written about, which is why they went bankrupt. Indonesian sex workers. And apologies, because I thought it had the headline it's from The Independent. Wow. The Independent's interesting because it's not that diehard left wing. I figured Guardian. I'll share my screen so you can see this distinctly. But it is a real headline. Here it is. How climate change is hitting vulnerable Indonesian trans sex workers. You really got to drill down. And look at this. Nearly 93% of respondents. 93%. Can we find how many people they interviewed to get that 93% of respondents number? You know, oddly enough, I'm not seeing it here. Weird, right? Because you'd think they'd want to share that data. 93% of respondents saw decreased business during the rainy season, which they are attributing to climate change. Not the fact that Indonesia typically has a rainy climate. There's always going to be a rainy season. Their argument, I guess, is that it's much more rainy. Guess what? It's been far more rainy in California too. We like it. We need it because we can't save the water. We're constantly told we're going to be in a state of drought because Gavin Newsom can't jerk himself off to that premise this year. But you talk about finding something, Indonesian trans sex workers, and trying to tie, it's like literally like trying to find two disparate things. It's like the old double dare games, right? They lower you from a crane into a pit full of balls and you pick two balls and it happened to be Indonesian trans sex workers and climate change. This is the level of desperation these people are reaching now. But the question is, who do they think this is changing the mind of? Who do they think, like, if you care about climate change, what are the odds that you also really care about Indonesian trans sex workers? Do they expect me to care more about climate change because I'm an Indonesian trans sex worker addict? Because 93% of the respondents to their survey, who apparently were Indonesian trans sex workers, did say they were impacted. But I got to think that's what, 11 people? I mean, 11, 12 people? How many are there? Is this a thriving industry I don't know about in Indonesia? Because frankly, I haven't seen any industries really impacted by climate change that I could think of. All the industries they tell us are going to be impacted tend to rebound the next day. And it's like, as soon as you start looking at them, the water boils and the industry comes right back. But goddamn, how did an editor approve that research? Like, they had to spend money. The independent, unless this is a freelancer, my guess is this. Here's the premise I'll throw out, Jim. Somebody that's completely in debt to, let's say, a very powerful John in Indonesia, right? The Johns who hire out the hookers. This man must have gotten deeply in debt to an Indonesian trans sex worker cabal. And instead of turning him into one of said sex workers by cutting off his dick and balls and putting him on the street, he went, hold on, I got a set of skills. I'm like Liam Neeson here, but I do it for bullshit journalism. And he's like, okay, I'm listening. And he pitches him the story. He talks to the 17 or 18 Indonesian sex trans workers that happen to be in this cabal, living in the hotel. We'll call it the Stinking Violet. He talks to all the prostitutes in the Stinking Violet. They tell him, yep, this rainy season really sucks, man. You're the only guy that managed to make the trip down here, you and your pontoon boat. And he goes, got it, done. The headline will be out tomorrow. And bam, here we are. Thank you, Independent. Thank you for your consistently principled reporting. So wait, somebody's watching here. Shadow Warden says, Indonesian trans sex workers, with it being a Muslim majority nation, must have a greater impact on them. You got me, man. I don't know. I just don't know. All right, so we hit on that one. The last item here, guys, on this little truncated show is that there's been a kind of a fascinating war going on, which I wasn't aware of. Now, I know that Brazil under Lula has become, or at least is starting to become, a socialist nightmare, which is predictable. The mainstream media in the United States, the political class in the United States on the left said when Javier Bolsonaro was elected, right? They called him the Brazilian Trump. They said, this guy's going to be a dictator, right? Because the people on the left always project what the reality is onto their opponents. So they said he's going to be a dictator. Now, he might not have done everything that I would approve of, because that's almost, you know, basically doing nothing. That's like putting a dog in his mayor, which I'm a big fan of. But he wasn't a dictator. He was removed from power. He didn't go around taking away all the rights of all of his citizens. He didn't line people up against the wall to be shot, as far as I'm aware of. And he was transitioned out. This was amidst quite a bit of the accusations that there was rampant fraud going on by the Lula campaign. And still, there was no military coup to keep him in power. So Lula takes over, brings in this socialist nightmare. We see Brazil's people being impacted by it. And of course, now we're seeing reports coming out about massive efforts to quell free speech in Brazil. We're seeing a massive decrease in their economic ability. But on top of that, we're seeing a Supreme Court, which has been completely captured ideologically by the left and by socialism. Especially let me bring up this story real quick for you guys so I know exactly what I'm talking about here. But especially as reported by Michael Schellenberger, there is a Supreme Court justice named Alexandra de Mores. who had announced a criminal investigation into Elon Musk. Now, the reason he's doing this is because Elon Musk came under some scrutiny because this wasn't in Brazil. I'm trying to remember the country it was in. But previously, a country, I think it might have been Turkey, had said, you need to abide by our laws of, you know, whatever, decency, censorship, which is similar to what's going on in the EU, right? But Brazil's taken it a step farther. Brazil has basically demanded the removal of people that are speaking out against Lula, speaking out against anything having to do with, you know, the socialist regime that's been put into place, and also in certain journalists. So he has demanded Elon Musk censors these people, censors speech, essentially ushering in a totalitarian vision of the future and the present, which always happens under socialism anyway. And Elon Musk has said, how about you go fuck yourself? Now, this is interesting, right? Because they're fining Elon Musk something like $20,000 Brazilian a day. I think I'm not sure they call them pesos or dollars or what they use over there. But I've never been to Brazil, guys. I'm sorry. Don't judge me. Whatever the currency is, right? They're charging him 20,000 of them a day. Elon Musk, to this point, has refused to kowtow to the Supreme Court ruling. Now, the thing is, too, the Supreme Court is, as we said, completely in the pocket of Lula. Hold on one second. I'm just trying to find a little bit more about this. Damn it. I can't find it the way of this. And again, I've been too rushed to properly get all my ducks in a row. But I have to say, it's a shocking world. At least it should be a shocking world when a billionaire is kind of like the only thing standing in the way of a runaway socialist government trying to put in place completely totalitarian rules, right? If you're cracking down on free speech, you're cracking down on people's ability to communicate on the biggest platform used in the entire country. Well, that's an issue. And what's funny is that you wouldn't think that Elon Musk, a billionaire who bought Twitter under the specific reason of protecting free speech, because he saw what the platform was, he saw the power of the platform. You wouldn't think that it would be so important to have one figure in the world to protect an entire nation against what essentially is a crackdown on their ability to discuss ideas openly, to speak out against the government, to organize probably in many ways, because the other ones, the other social media platforms in there have probably also capitulated. I mean, for sure, we know Facebook has. There's not even a question there, right? And it comes at a time when you also have the left attacking all the billionaires, right? You have Bernie Sanders, you have Elizabeth Warren, you have everybody on the DNC saying that we have too many billionaires and they have too much power and these people are evil and corrupt. And yet, if Elon Musk wasn't able to achieve the level that he has, Twitter would still be in the hands of Jack Dorsey and a cadre of FBI and CIA spooks, and God knows what they would be doing. At the same time, they probably would have people working directly with Lula's government to boot people off of Twitter. It's just kind of interesting how this has all come back around. Now, granted, at the same time, you could argue, well, what if Elon Musk was a absolutely evil billionaire? Oh, he might have been. But the beauty is, Elon Musk bought Twitter to make it a free speech platform. He bought X and turned it into a free speech platform. And now he's standing up against the government that's trying to take that away. An evil billionaire could have bought X and turned it into fucking Facebook or turned it into, you know, whatever. What was that art sharing platform that was privately owned? And then it got bought by like AOL or maybe it got bought out by T-Mobile. Verizon bought it. It was like this platform that was. It was for people to post art and then porn, but it slowly became a place that only people who wanted porn went to. And as soon as they banned that, it shut down. I'm not saying that's an evil billionaire move, but the point being is Elon Musk created something that the marketplace needs. And despite all the porn bots, despite the fact that, yes, you can say some horrible things on X, I'm sorry, but we need that. You need to have unfettered access to people's opinions and you need to have a platform where that's possible and it's protected. And Elon Musk gave us that. If it was an evil platform and it sucked shit, nobody would use it. But you know, if this was a private company, they wouldn't be doing this. I mean, it is kind of ironic that, you know, I believe in people, you know, I believe in the ability for entrepreneurs to come up. I believe in the free market of ideas and free market capitalism and that these companies have a purpose as long as they're not indebted to cronyism. if this was a privately owned company, it probably would be bending the knee to the Brazilian government because of profits, because of political pressure, because they can't afford to take the fines. And Elon Musk can. He can. I don't know how long, but, you know, it does certainly does make you think. If you're not paying for X, people say, well, you pay for X. Yeah, I do pay for X. Why do I pay for X? Fucking for this exact reason. Just so I can support what he's doing, because I will pay for free speech. I will gladly put that money in the kitty so that Elon Musk can tell Brazil and its socialist dictators to go fuck themselves. That's worth my $11 a month or whatever it is I pay for X. So think about that. I will leave you with this. Apologies. It's a little bit, as I said, a little bit more of a scatter, ill-prepared episode. I just haven't had a chance to really think, and I think I'm probably getting calls to go pick up my daughter right now at school, and then I have to sign some documents with a notary. So, you know, evil never rests. All right, guys, thank you. If you love what we're doing here, please subscribe to the show, to the podcast, like it on all the socials. Remember, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit the notify button. We have, you know, almost 7,000 subscribers on there. Nobody gets fed anything because they shadow ban us. We've been shadow banned forever. Please hit notify. That way you'll know when we're going live or when we post a new video. Follow me on Brian McWilliams on Twitter, and I'll see you guys later. All right. From the Lions Liberty Network, from me, Brian McWilliams, and from Meanage Daydream, keep those electric eyes on me, babe. And keep that ray gun to my head.
It's a mean age.
Hit the wrong goddamn button on the outside. That's a fucking crap. All right, fine.